Well, how you doing? We had no social distancing here. We get together digitally or radio-wise every day from 10 to noon, spend a couple of hours together. We'll go over everything calmly, coolly. We'll go through all the facts, everything you need to know. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Dr. Fauci. We'll get to Sleepy Joe and Governor Cuomo and all of that. A lot of information to bring you. And just remember, make good use of this time. Don't waste it. I know it's just, you can't believe you're going to be stuck at home for maybe another week or two or three or whatever. Just make use of the time. Joe Bartlett, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Where are you?
Well, actually in South Carolina.
What a baby. Come right here to the epicenter.
Oh, South yeah. Like you're walking the streets these days.
Well, I've been out in the streets, but... Joe Bartlett is in South Carolina where they're social distancing, but that's because of poison ivy. That's all they got to worry about. Down there. Are there cases down there? There's a few.
Yes, there's a growing case. As a matter of fact, the governor thinks that what's happening in New York and New Jersey is actually going to happen down here at some point.
Yeah, that's an important point to remember. As you see it exploding in New York, yeah, everybody's thinking, let me get out of here. Let me go to Connecticut. Let me go to Florida. Let me get out. A lot of these experts think, we just got hit early and fast, and that everything that's happened here is going to happen everywhere else. It's just a matter of time. So as you see it climbing here to the apex, that's actually in some ways a good thing because it means we'll turn the corner a lot sooner than everybody else. So but are you going to stay down there for a while? I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point, I mean, I was planning to retire down here. I mean, I had only a couple of weeks left. I figured, you know, I'd work out the string and, you know, maybe just hang in there until this thing settles down. I mean, you can't do anything down here. It's just like up in New York. Everything is pretty much closed.
You know, a lot of people think about retiring. They've thought of retiring. They've dreamed of retiring. These last couple of weeks has changed everything because now they see what it's like.
Yeah, that's right.
Being home all day, where the big thrill is going to the supermarket every day.
That's been a big thrill this week.
Yeah. So, hey, and we want to thank the obviously the heroes, all the healthcare heroes, but especially everybody in the healthcare business, obviously, but the food workers who show up every day, the pharmacists who show up every day, mail carriers, the delivery guys, all of them, really heroic. In all of this, President Trump doing the daily briefings. These have been excellent. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. Once in a while, a president would show up in the briefing room and very casually take questions, but we've never, ever seen a president do it for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and just say everything. Now, because of Trump derangement syndrome, that is the other disease that has caused panic. This Trump derangement syndrome, they are going nuts. Because people are really connecting with the president, even in ways they hadn't before. The ratings are astronomical. It's the highest rated thing on television. He's getting 15 to 17 million at some points watching these briefings. And he's just speaking like off the cuff, unfiltered, off the top of his head, and getting nothing but criticism. This is horrible. Why is he rambling? Why is he just talking like that? Meantime, you watch Andrew Cuomo, who's doing a great job, but you watch him every morning do the same thing. It's considered brilliant, innovative. What a genius. Thank God he's rambling. And if you take the transcripts and put them side by side, look through them, you can find every single thing President Trump has said was also said by Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo says it, brilliant, heroic. When Trump says it, it's unprofessional, it's unpresidential. Take the two drugs that seem to be working, the Z-Pak and the hydro, do you know how to say it? Hydroquella?
No, morphine, that's all.
Yeah,
it's a malaria drug.
I've talked to a million doctors using it. They've said in every case, 100% of the cases, it's working. It's not a cure. Doesn't cure any, but it brings the symptoms down dramatically. And it's very important. They always ask me to point out, do not do it on your own. It's got to be done through a doctor because you may have conditions that would make this react badly. You could die from taking these two things, too, if you got the wrong makeup. And they got to know every drug you're taking, every prescription drug you're on. So you can't just take it on your own. A doctor has to check your whole medicine and history before you can take it. But it's getting dramatic results. There's a third drug that's been, they've been using it with some success. Also, they give you big doses of vitamin C. When you're on it, it helps. Don't do it as a preventative. You don't want too much vitamin C. But when the president said it, he was attacked. How dare he think out loud? This is not tested. This is Governor Cuomo said it. Everybody said, well, that's great. He's on top of everything. Look how advanced he is medically. So it's driving the Trump haters, which be obviously all the Democrats, the media, driving them insane. Poll numbers are just rising. When you see them up at 50, 60%, remember, it's actually 10 points higher because they're fiddling with the metrics to get it lower. So they're going nuts. You contrast that with Joe Biden. You know, there's so many sad sights in this crisis. When you see the crowded emergency rooms, it's so sick. Nothing is sadder than Joe Biden trying to look relevant. This poor guy in this basement with all these books that he can't read anymore. You think he's read any of these books? He just sit, that's his basement with the bookshelves. That's him in the basement. And it's, you know, it's like when you go to the nursing home to talk to the your grandfather or whoever, and you ask him something, he goes, and you pretend he's talking normally. Remember the end of The Godfather? That's Joe Biden. Remember Michael's talking to the Godfather, and he goes, hey, you check with the phone, man. Yeah, Pop, I did that. Oh, yeah. That's Joe Biden. So, Joe Bartlett, you'd agree it's clear to everybody he can't be the nominee. It's impossible.
No. So, as a matter of fact, Michael Goodwin had a good column this weekend that, you know, somebody's going to have to tell him, you got to step aside. You just don't have it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have Michael Goodwin later this hour, but it is painfully clear. In normal times, he's not awake enough to be president. In a crisis, in the middle, it's
How do you think Democrats would feel? Would you like to swap out Biden for Trump as we deal with this as a nation?
Democrats would be thrilled. They just don't know how to do it. They think it would look embarrassing. Listen, obviously, if you say, "Well, would you get rid of him?" Who would you get? Well, obviously, they got one big star now, Andrew Cuomo. Would he do it? I don't know.
What do you think?
Well, yeah, he'd probably.
You don't think he's auditioning right now?
Obviously. Now, you know, they say President Trump, he's rambling. Why is he rambling? Oh, he's just thinking out loud. He shouldn't ramble. Meantime, I'm watching Cuomo, and I love the briefings. He's telling you about the hospitals. Next thing you know, he's telling you about when he was 12, the meatballs and where he got them. And then he's talking about his aunt for an hour. This is considered brilliant. Brilliant. Why can't we have a president like this? Meantime, president says one sentence and then on the teleprompter, and they're attacking him. And so the Trump derangement syndrome is out of control. Now, a couple of things. One, they've twisted this now to look like the president has done something wrong. There's not enough ventilators in New York. That's the president's fault. Why hasn't he gotten them? It is not the job at any time of the federal government to supply New York with any hospital equipment. That is never their job, even in a crisis. I mean, they'll do it because they want to do it. But every state, every municipality, it's their determination how many hospital beds and how many ventilators they want to have. In 2015, it came up that the state should buy 16,000 extra ventilators and have them on hand. Governor Cuomo and his health director vetoed that. It was going to cost $500 million. They didn't want to do it, so they didn't do it. They determine how many hospital beds are there. They are supposed to think, in a crisis, what would we do? So this has nothing to do with the fault of the federal government. In a crisis, they will come in and try to supply it. They'll try to get it for you. So when the Mayor de Blasio yells for these ventilators, it's his fault. He should have had. First of all, he doesn't work with anybody except lobbyists and all of that. But if he'd been in touch with all these CEOs and had good relationships with them, right now he could be getting all the beds he wants. You know, that one of the big hospital bed companies is in Long Island. He could have them turning out beds. So Governor Cuomo has made it very clear. He put up the PowerPoint yesterday. We have helped him.
We're experiencing a connection difficulty with Mark Simone. Stay there while Mr. New York reconnects to our studio.
See, this is the president's fault. We need a better hookup. Where is Washington? Why haven't they sent us? This is how politicians work. It's not the federal government's job. It's the mayor's job. Now, you notice when they set up these, have you seen the Javits Center video? It's beautiful what they built there. This hospital is unbelievable. It can hold 1,000 people. It looks better and cleaner and nicer than any real hospital. It's magnificent. The governor went there to make a speech. He went there to bring the cameras to see it. He went there to let everybody tour it with him. He had nothing to do with this hospital. This is all Donald Trump. It's all FEMA. It's the Army Corps of Engineers. It's their hospital. But Cuomo puts on the jacket and walks through it as if he did this hospital. All he did was give him the keys. Here's
he's doing a great job. And he's everything. He's taking care of everything for New York.
Yeah. And he is doing a great job. Going to pick on. He's doing a good job. But they'll show the hospital as if Andrew Cuomo built this hospital. It was Donald Trump. All he did was unlock the door and let him in. And, by the way, Trump has never mentioned, who created the Javits Center? Donald Trump.
No.
It was his first project ever. He was 26 years old. It was the most amazing miracle. I think he was 27. Every big major real estate person wanted to be the one to do the new convention center. He got the land. He did the Javits Center. The only thing is, when they gave him the deal and he got the deal to start it, they didn't let him do the construction. They thought he was just too young. So they wanted a more experienced construction company. But that's his project, the Javits Center. So he not only created it, he's the one that built the hospital there. So Cuomo looks like he built this magnificent facility. And then when the Comfort comes in, that's that big, beautiful hospital ship, 1,000 beds, you'll see Cuomo take you on a tour of it. Cuomo show it to you, as if he had something to do with it. Now, he's doing a great job, but not to be, this is the funniest part, not to be outdone, Mayor de Blasio wants to look like, oh yeah, I'll create my own hospital. So he's got these Boy Scout tents in Central Park. You'll see them on the news. It's like three tents with four beds in them. And what was he thinking? Central Park is a refuge from all this. Why would you put those in the park, Joe Bartlett?
Where else is you going to put them? That's the widest open space you have in the city. That's why the Comfort is on the water.
How about the 20 empty municipal buildings that he has? How about empty schools? How about some piers? God forbid you went to the hospital right now and they said, we're full, we'll send you to the USS Comfort. Okay. We'll send you to the Javits. Okay. We have a tent in Central Park. You get a cot. It's a tent. And what do you do if it rains?
Well, I'm sure they're very good facilities.
Take a look at those tents. It's four tents. And so this is de Blasio looking like he's doing something. It's Franklin Graham, actually, who's doing the tents. They got him. He has these kind of facilities that he can set up. So they hit him, bring them in. Hey, there's a lot of people pitching in and doing things. And I mentioned this guy in Connecticut, Ray Dalio. He's the richest guy in Connecticut. And unlike Bloomberg, who sent his money to Africa to help, Ray Dalio set up a multi-million-dollar fund in Connecticut just to pay for food and daycare for every healthcare worker who has to work through. I mean, that's a great thing to do. Look at this. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, they're in Chappaqua in Westchester. They sent over 400 pizzas to hospitals throughout Westchester County with a note saying, thank you for keeping our community safe. 400 pizzas. How much would that be? Well, it's got to be about $6,000 for...
That's not bad. That was a nice gesture.
That's very nice. Of course, they build it to the Clinton Foundation. But it's a nice thing to do. Ralph Lauren, Bedford, New York, donated $10 million from his foundation to help those with the virus. So that's pretty good. It should be pointed out that Michael Bloomberg announced, whenever he gives money, big announcement, he wants you to know, $40 million to fight coronavirus in Africa. Nothing for here. What about $40 million to feed people here that are working? Africa. Why Africa? They don't even have a big problem there. A lot of people think it's because he got that racist label all over him. So that's why Africa. He's trying to counter that. A lot of celebrities, famous names with it. Prince Charles, although he's out of the hospital. Josh Groban, Placido Domingo, Jackson Brown. It's a big list. James Dolan, Jim Dolan of Madison Square Garden. Greta Thunberg has it. Mrs. Trudeau has it. It's a long list. A lot of Sean Payton, head coach of New Orleans. It goes on and on. Harvey Weinstein has it. He seems to be doing fine with it, though. That's another thing. This mayor of New Orleans says she's screaming over there, why didn't the president tell us to cancel Mardi Gras? What part of social distancing didn't you get? Again, everything is the president's fault. Everything. Next, they're going to be asking him, Phil, why are these potholes still here? It's the president's fault. So anyway, Joe Bartlett is back. We got lots to get to. We'll take some calls in a minute. Michael Goodwin, coming up a little later this hour. Check out the webpage, though. We got a lot of good stuff up there today. You know that Mayor de Blasio has been getting hit left and right. His health commissioner, watch this video. This is a couple of weeks ago of how badly he botched the beginning of it. Watch the crazy things he was saying. Also, here's a great, you know, when they do these press conferences, they ask the president the worst questions. Watch this. This is a collection of the best battles with fake news. Oh, also, here's Stephen Sondheim's coronavirus song. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. But in their defense, one of them is only getting $6 million a year. So, you know, you can't expect them to be there every day for that little money. But what terrible people. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Frank in Farmingdale. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Hey, I have the craziest question.
Yes.
Joe Bartlett works ungodly hours 5 days a week, right? And then he comes in on Saturday instead of sleeping late for 1 hour. Why?
Yeah.
What is he, crazy?
Well, I don't know if I should reveal this, but, you know, sometimes they pre-record shows, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's 2020. They have this technology now. You could pre-record a show.
I still don't get it. 1 hour?
Well, I don't know. You ever see the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really go there at 11:30 at night and do the show. They do it like at 5 o'clock and go home.
I know, but is Joe Bartlett in such demand that they need him for 1 hour on Saturday?
It's a very popular show on Saturday.
Yeah, I bet.
If I were like President Trump, I'd say, all right, that's why you got no ratings. That's why your ratings are so low. What did he say? What did he call the guy the other day? You're a real
cutie pie.
With that question.
Cutie pie.
All right, Frank, thanks for the annoying question. Let's go to Rob in Long Island. Rob, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Hey, the story, yes. I read about Bill Ackman fanning the flames of biblical epic proportions, the sky's falling, which it's bad given that. But I learned that he was simultaneously shorting the market and made $2.6 billion. I think it's outrageous, and I'd like the media to call him out to donate that money to charity. What do you think?
It's a good idea, but he's a big hedge fund guy, so good luck with that project. Now, it should be pointed out, and thanks for calling, Rob. It's a good question. It should be pointed out. There are guys who are investors, like Warren Buffett is an investor. You buy a stock and it goes up and that's how you make your money. Hedge funds are totally different. When you hear about a hedge fund, that is not like an investment company. Hedge funds, in fact, when the market is doing great, and it's like this past 3 years, hedge funds don't do very well. They make their money in crises, in volatility, and wild swings up and down. That's where they make their money. They're not guys that just buy stocks and hold. So Ackman saw the crisis coming. You know, if you watch Billions, Axelrod, that's what these guys do. They see a crisis coming, and they know what to do. And they don't just buy stocks. He did, I don't even understand what he did. They buy yield, derivative, this, that, things that in case it goes down. And, yeah, then he got on TV and talked about how it's, you know, everybody should sell. He wanted the market to go down. But that's what these guys do. That's why you see in a great year, a hedge fund only did 2%. Why is that? But in the bad year, that's when they flourish. That's when they do 40, 50%. It's horrible. But if you watch Billions, that's the way these guys are built. Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Dave, what's going on there in Chicago?
We're still here, Mark. As far as the law is concerned, they just want you to go out for medical reasons or to go grocery shopping. Come back in. Don't walk around. You're subject to a citation. The second offense would be a $500 fine. I heard that this is happening in New York as well.
Yeah, you can. You can go out, and there's people out. There's people in the park. You just can't gather together. It's probably a good policy in Chicago for all of you to stay home anyway. You got 40 shootings a weekend, so.
Absolutely, gun sales are probably up. Mark, I wanted to ask you a brief question in regard to somebody replacing Biden. Okay, let's just suppose it's Hillary Clinton. There's no time to campaign. There's no time to get the message out. Has there been any internal discussions about pushing back the election date because of the coronavirus?
Excellent question, Dave. Thanks for calling. There has been talk about it. Unfortunately, it's the absolute law written in the Constitution must happen on that day. It could be moved, but the president can't do it. He'd have to get Congress to do it. You never know. You never know. If they came up with a new candidate and they needed time, who knows? maybe Congress would move it. If they, it's a chess game. If they thought it was to their advantage, they would do it. Now, what's going to happen when this crisis is over? It'll be over. This is going to end in a few weeks or a month or whatever it is when it's over. But by middle, towards the end of the summer, as they get into election season, what's going to happen is they will start the next Russiagate, Ukrainegate. It will be Coronavirusgate. They will form a Senate committee and hearings to prove that President Trump caused this by delaying, by not getting things done in time. You know, the I think it was the New York Times, massive piece yesterday. The six crucial weeks, the six missed, forgotten weeks, when we could have prevented all of this, when Donald Trump didn't act. They're going back to January and February, and they point to certain experts warning about this, and all, and he didn't act, and where were the ventilators, and where were the... they're going to try this. This will be the election campaign. It's all going to be about that. However, it's easily countered when you point out no governor, no mayor was doing anything either. Also, this is during the impeachment. They were trying to impeach him during that time. And he did the one thing he should have done, which was the travel ban against China, which was criticized by Biden, criticized by the New York Times, all that stuff. So he took dramatic action at that time, even though he was in the middle of an impeachment. And as far as the ventilators and all, once we're through this, you'll see there was never a shortage of ventilators. Even the governor says we're all set with equipment, protective equipment, everything for the next couple of weeks. And by then, there'll be more stuff here. So there'll never be a shortage the way things are being manufactured round the clock right now. So, but they'll try that in the fall. Anyway, we've got lots to get to. Michael Goodwin wrote an amazing column about all this. We'll talk to him next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
All righty, Mark. The naval ship Comfort has arrived on Manhattan's west side, bringing some relief to an overwhelmed hospital system. It has 1,000 hospital beds. They'll be used to care for non-coronavirus patients. A temporary hospital also opening up at the Javits Center. NYPD's begun to crack down on people violating the social distancing guidelines. Officers now handing out fines that could be as much as $500. They'll even enforce those restrictions on the subway. President Trump has extended the federal social distancing guidelines through April. He says he expects the country to be well on its way to recovery by June. And Hoboken has closed all of the parks across the city for the next 2 weeks. Officials say it's needed to stop the spread of coronavirus. Our next update at 11, breaking news at 1. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR.
The rain chances increasing here through the afternoon as the clouds will stay with us up to 58. Showers likely tonight, low 41. Cloudy tomorrow with a high 47, and we break out of the clouds and see some sunshine at midweek. Wednesday's high 54. Thursday, partly cloudy, temperatures in the mid-50s. Cloudy this hour, 45 WOR.
Serve to protect him from further scrutiny. But the minute he pops up his head in these interviews and these video things from his basement home, the basement of his home, I should say, you recall all of the things that we saw during the campaign, how he cannot put two sentences together, how he gets lost in the weeds of the simplest idea, and that he just looks lost, and he looks like somebody who's, I mean, the very idea that Joe Biden could be president for 4 years, I mean, you look at it and you say, no, it's just not possible. And I think that somewhere, even the people who are running his campaign or the Democratic Party leaders have to be saying, what are we going to do about this? Because, A, he may collapse at any moment and just, you know, sort of be gibberish and driven off a stage somewhere, or he may actually get elected, which would be almost as terrifying for the party, I think. What would they do then? So what I call upon them to do is solve it before the election. Bring in Barack Obama, as I say, paging Dr. Obama, because he's the only one, I think, who could bring this message to Biden that it's time to step aside now. And then, you know, as I say, there are numerous alternatives, Andrew Cuomo being one, Nancy Pelosi being another, Hillary Clinton being a third. She's always ready. But I think the key thing is Obama has to step in, because don't forget, he's never endorsed Biden, despite saying that he didn't want Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders is the only opponent, and yet still he hasn't endorsed Biden. So he clearly has misgivings.
Well, what about the Donald Trump theory that the donors, Obama, the powers that be, they really want Biden because they'll stick him in an old age home and they'll run the country?
That could be. I mean, that's a little more cynical than I am. I think they want to defeat Trump, and they've concluded that Biden, you know, has legitimately survived, what, about 60% of the primaries, and therefore is the leader. But he's a long way from a majority. We don't know how it's going to work from now on. The primaries are all being delayed, it looks like, at least the ones coming up in this month and probably April are all going to be delayed. What kind of convention can you have? I mean, this is a very different circumstance. And to think that Biden, who is so unreliable, that he can just sort of go in hiding for a while, pop up and do occasional interviews. Meanwhile, President Trump is out there every day. I would not put any money if I were the Democrats on Biden winning the election.
Michael Goodwin, you'd agree that it's so transparent, obvious. Whenever President Trump talks for 2 hours, this is unprofessional, it's unpresidential, this is horrible, why is he rambling? Yet when Andrew Cuomo talks for 2 hours about his mother's meatballs or whatever, it's brilliant, what leadership, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, the double standards are just remarkable. I mean, imagine, you know, that the CNNs and the MSNBCs that don't want to show Trump's briefings. Can you imagine them doing that with Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, right? I mean, it's just, or Hillary Clinton or even Joe Biden. The double standards are breathtaking. And, Mark, nothing will change it, right? So there's Nancy Pelosi accusing the president of fiddling while people die. I mean, the way this president has been treated, the double standard, the resistance movement that has driven the Democratic Party, even the coronavirus can't change that. It is the same old stuff that we've been hearing for more than 3 years now. I mean, you wonder, would nuclear war change them? Would they finally see themselves as Americans first, or is it always going to be resistance first?
Hey, even, you know, they show you the Javits Center. The governor walks you through there. Look at what they built. It's magnificent. It looks better than a real hospital. And they act like Andrew Cuomo did this. All he did was unlock the door. That was Donald Trump and the federal government that built that hospital, that brought that ship. How come they, well, I know how come, but they get no credit for it.
Right. And look, you know, this issue of what did Trump do in the early days, I think if we're going to have that examination, let's apply it to everybody. Let's apply it to the governors and to the mayors. I mean, was it the mayor of New Orleans who said, well, we had Mardi Gras because nobody told us not to? You know, it's the same way you look at the Chinese New Year in New York. All those people saying it's just, you know, it's anti-immigrant to warn about it. All the tweets are out there when President Trump blocked the flights from China on January 31st. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they all called it xenophobic, anti-immigrant, racist. I mean, all the tweets are out there. All of the evidence is there. So if we're going to look at what Trump did and didn't do, fair point. But let's extend that also to the governors and the mayors, because they all have health departments. They all have contacts with the CDC. If this thing were so urgent, and what about the media? What did the media do in January and February while this thing was taking shape? Did they have their hair on fire as they do now? I don't think so. So if we're going to apply the standard to President Trump, then let's apply the same standard to all of the other elected officials and to the media itself.
You know, Governor Cuomo, who's been great in all of this, said Jared Kushner's been extraordinarily helpful. He said in his briefing yesterday, put up the slide, we have all the equipment we need for the next couple of weeks. So he's been, and then, well, so why is Bill de Blasio yelling he needs the military, he needs this, when Governor Cuomo is so calm?
Well, look, I think we shouldn't neglect what a politician's first job is, Mark, and that is to get attention, right? And there's a kind of bidding war that goes on here. Well, this person said that. We saw that most clearly in the Democratic candidates for president, right? Well, you say you're for, more inclusion. Well, I'm going to make a black woman my running mate. I mean, So everybody one-ups the other. And so I think we see that in this case, too. Cuomo was getting lots of attention. He has more power in New York. And so de Blasio sort of upped the ante by decreeing greater emergencies and greater needs. I mean, I think there's nothing more to it than just look at me, look at me.
Wow. Well, it's a powerful column. Michael Goodwin, the best columnist in America. Read yesterday's column. It's up in the New York Post website. And read Michael Goodwin every Sunday, every Wednesday in the New York Post. Michael Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
All right, take care. And everybody check out the webpage. We've got a lot of good stuff up there. Now, Mayor de Blasio and the health commissioner of New York were way behind on everything. Just a couple of weeks ago, they were telling everybody to go out, go to the movies, don't worry about it. Watch this video. You'll see how badly New York City officials botched the beginning of coronavirus. Also, one of the little sideshows of the presidential briefings, the nasty fake news reporters asking these awful questions. Watch, here's a montage of some of the best battles the president had with them. Also, a great Stephen Sondheim song about coronavirus. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Equipment. They come with their own beds. They come with their own ventilators, their own staff, their own doctors, nurses. So they're fully equipped. That's an extra 2,000 hospital beds we have right now. Hopefully it won't be needed. And what they're going to use them for is regular cases, not coronavirus. That way, a regular hospital stuff, you could do it in these places. They don't have to go into a hospital. Hey, if you want to see something interesting, check out my Instagram. I did a lot of pictures of some of the busiest places in Midtown Manhattan. Look at them now, totally empty. You'll never be able to get a picture like this ever again, but it's up on my Instagram, Mark Simone NYC at Instagram, Mark Simone NYC at Instagram. So in the next hour, we got lots to get to. We'll just give you all the information you need, calm and cool. We'll go over the numbers. We'll go over the details, the stories you need to know. We'll get to the president, the mayor, the governor. We'll get to all your favorite news anchors and more coming up after the news. Don't forget Rush at noon, Sean Hannity, 3 to 6. You got Buck Sexton at 6. You have WOR here all day, keeping you informed and keeping you company all day. Back right after the news on 710 WOR.